when it comes to cravings, what I find is that for a lot of people, they are having cravings because they actually have a lot of untreated nutritional deficiencies.
Yeah.
There has been this mindset of restriction for such a long time. You must count your calories. You must cut your carbohydrates. You must fast for significant periods of time. We're all kind of stuck in a lot of these common sayings, and we're all stuck in this restrictive mindset that no one seems to put much attention into really fueling the body with good quality nutrition.
Welcome to the Australian Weight Loss Surgery Podcast, where every 2 weeks we explore all the aspects of the weight loss surgery journey. You'll hear from a range of experts, including bariatric surgeons, psychologists, patients, and dietitians, sharing up-to-date informative advice to help fast-track your long-term weight loss success.
Welcome back to the Australian Weight Loss Surgery Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Lewis, and I'm the clinical nutritionist at BN Healthy. In today's episode, I'll talk with Dr. Angela Kwong, who's a GP from Sydney with a special interest in medical weight loss. And I wanted to ask her advice on what she's seeing in the application of our new weight loss tool, the medicated weight loss in the GLP-1 agonist drugs. Angela and I will discuss when these medications will be of benefit, how these medications bring about weight loss, and we'll also explore whether we really have found the magic wand we've been searching for. And we'll look at the results you can expect from implementing these new drugs in concert with, of course, healthy diet and behavioural change. Welcome to my guest, Dr. Angela Kwong. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jackie. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. And it's always lovely to have you here because I think you're changing the game as far as looking at different ways of bringing about weight loss for your patients. I know we've talked about your Uplift Med program, but I really wanted to explore today, like we've had some changes and some developments in the weight loss space, which is fantastic, but we're all kind of weighing up these new developments, and who better to speak to than you on this topic? Can you tell us a little bit about what you feel's changed and how it is playing out in the bariatric and the weight loss surgery space?
Well, when I started in university, we really only had a handful of weight loss medications to choose from. And for a lot of them, they had quite unpleasant side effects. So for a lot of patients, they would generally start with lifestyle changes. Then if that didn't work, they would try to combine a couple of techniques together. Then they would come and see their GP and perhaps start one of these weight loss medications. What we've seen in the last couple of years is an emergence of new types of medications, specifically the GLP-1s. And there's been multiple new medications in this class. What we've found is that unlike the medications that did have unpleasant gastrointestinal side effects like oily poos or having palpitations or giving you insomnia, what these medications tend to do is achieve satiety and also give you a sense of fullness and also help with weight loss. They've been designed with diabetes in mind. And what I find is that as we've got this population that is starting to progress towards being overweight and obese, there is also that trend towards insulin resistance and pre-diabetes. So it makes sense as to why the GLP-1s are designed for weight loss, and also why they are achieving such good percentages of weight loss as well. So I think that where we're heading is that currently there's actually three GLP-1s that are available. Not all of them are registered for weight loss, but they're being used in a multitude of different ways. And what we've found is that the percentages of weight loss that you can achieve is starting to increase, and it's actually starting to reach the gold standard, which is weight loss surgery. So lots of exciting developments happening in this field.
It is. And I think there's options for us now. So I think the main approach is looking at the stigma around obesity and this, and that whole kind of emotional state of things that happens. Even just reaching out for help. We know that people who are struggling with their weight are generally reaching out 8 years too late. 8 years after they feel like they're struggling, they'll try and work it out and try and kind of do another diet and maybe do this and that program. And then they finally reach out for professional help. And I think what's happening with all these different offerings is that we are getting some solid results for people, which is a motivator perhaps to reach out earlier. Are you finding that's the case?
I think so. And also by the time that people are coming to see me specifically, as in a GP who has a special interest in medically supervised weight loss, they really have tried their best and really exhausted a lot of the lifestyle options. So by that time, they have already considered that perhaps they need some kind of medical intervention in order to make that next step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to be able to discuss that and have those different tools on offer. What sort of results are we seeing when we do compare these GLP-1 drugs to bariatric surgery? What sort of results are we seeing when you compare those results?
It hasn't quite reached equality with bariatric surgery just yet. However, it is definitely starting to approach the percentages achieved with bariatric surgery. But having said that, that's when you're just comparing the two interventions side by side without layering on anything else. So that's just when we're comparing it as a medication-only intervention when it comes to weight loss. There's no reason why you can't necessarily combine medication with lifestyle advice together to achieve greater outcomes. So that's one of the things that I try and promote to my patients, in that, yes, medication has a role in kickstarting the weight loss journey. Another part of the weight loss journey is treating the factors that are contributing to your weight, because there's no real point in just taking a weight loss medication if you have untreated hypothyroidism or if you have untreated insulin resistance. Addressing those medical factors as well is just as important, because at the end of the day, no one wants to be on weight loss medication forever. We definitely just want to be using it in a kickstart fashion while we're getting everything else in place. And in addition to that, making sure that we're building good habits so that patients are able to maintain a healthy weight in the long term. So it's about having a bit of a vision when creating your plan.
Yeah, again, it's another tool. And we talk about weight loss surgery being another tool and it having all those other facets that need to be in place. So it is very similar in that regard to get the results that we're talking about, those high-end weight loss goals. So I guess you'd have people coming to you and they're considering, they're weighing up their choices now, which is amazing that we have those. And the drugs are great because we can implement them either before we even go down the surgical route, or we can use them if there is a regain period after surgery. So are people asking you, should I do drugs or should I do surgery? And what are they coming up with as far as that goes?
It is the question of the year, isn't it? It's a really hot topic. Should I choose weight loss medications or should I choose weight loss surgery? And I think that there are pros and cons of both. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a decision today that is a decision for your entire life, because people change, our weight is going to change and people progress. And sometimes it's a matter of one and then another. So I've seen patients on the entire spectrum where they're at the beginning of their weight loss journey. They have a significant amount of weight to lose and they come to me with that question. What do you think would be most appropriate for me? Is it medications or is it surgery? And the very first thing that I say to that patient is, let's do an assessment. So let's have a look at your medical history. Let's have a look at the medications that you're taking. Because if by chance they do have, like I said, untreated medical conditions that are contributing to their weight, or if they're taking medications that cause weight gain, these are some of the things that we can already start to do to intervene to help them with their weight loss without necessarily even going to that next step of making a final decision of weight loss surgery or weight loss medications. The next step would be to really empower the patient with the right information so that they can make that decision for themselves. Now, for some people, it's going to be a clear decision where they may not necessarily be a great surgical candidate just yet, and they might actually be a high anesthetic risk. And in those patients, it might actually be more sensible to aim for medical weight loss first to optimize their BMI and to reduce their surgical and their anesthetic risk. And that's still going to help their health so much before they proceed to weight loss surgery. So that might be one type of consultation that I'll have. Another consultation that I might have might be for patients who are graduates of bariatric surgery and they've already been, you know, 6, 12 or 18 months down the track. They've lost a significant amount of weight, but unfortunately there is some weight regain. And just like with that previous patient, the first step is always to do an assessment, because sometimes I wonder whether the patients have had that conversation with their GP before they even committed to the bariatric surgery as to whether there are any factors that need to be addressed in the long term as well. So we always do the assessment first. And if by chance they do need some help with achieving an optimal weight towards the tail end, then that's something that we can always assist them with.
It does have a range of times and places, doesn't it, of application and benefits in that period. But I do see that pre-surgical period being a great way of increasing health and preparation if they do choose to do the surgery. You have people who opt for the medications and then maybe have bariatric surgery in mind, but then change their minds and persist with behavioural change and the benefits they're receiving from those medications?
I have had a handful of patients who have been in my program who have either said to me that before joining my program, they thought that that was their only option for the next step for them to go and have weight loss surgery, because everything that they had done had not achieved weight loss for them to date. And they felt that they needed a short, sharp intervention, which would achieve a significant amount of weight loss for them to be able to really move forward and for them to be able to achieve weight maintenance afterwards. And surprisingly, once we get them going, once we get them started, lose that first 5 to 10%, the joints are better, they're walking, they're running, they're doing all of the everyday things, then they do say to me, it's pretty impressive. I feel better. I have more energy. I'm going for walks. Even my dog has lost weight. I can wear my riding ring again. All of these other benefits. And they say, I'm really glad that I had that assessment and that we gave medical weight loss a try first, because I don't know if I really wanted to do weight loss surgery just yet.
Fascinating, isn't it? And again, just the options that we have. Later on down the track, when we see hunger return and perhaps some of the habits that persist prior to surgery, is that a nice time to have a look at this, another opportunity at reducing the hunger and giving another go at behavioural change? Is that the intention at the end?
It's never too late. So it's never too late to look into behavioural change and also to look into a patient's nutrition when it comes to cravings as well. So when it comes to cravings, what I find is that for a lot of people, they are having cravings because they actually have a lot of untreated nutritional deficiencies. Yeah. There has been this mindset of restriction for such a long time. You must count your calories. You must cut your carbohydrates. You must fast for significant periods of time. We're all kind of stuck in a lot of these common sayings, and we're all stuck in this restrictive mindset that no one seems to put much attention into really fueling the body with good quality nutrition. And as a result, it's no surprise that when I do the bloods for these patients, when we're doing these investigations, they're walking around vitamin D deficient, iron deficient, B12 deficient, and it comes as no surprise that their body's having cravings. They may not necessarily be having cravings and need a lot of food, but their body is deeply undernourished and needs a lot more nutrition because they've been restricting for such a long period of time.
That's a good point. And a lot of that is energy, like they're so exhausted because of these deficiencies. If you're walking around iron deficient and B12 deficient, if those are key energy producing nutrients, you can see why those cravings for carbohydrates and simple sugars come in, not to fill the nutritional gap, but just to try and get them through the day so they're not falling asleep. It is a key thing. We talk about when those cravings do re-enter the scene, is look at nutrition and see what's missing, because it could be what's driving the cravings. And even we know women who are menstruating prior to their period, they might be craving chocolate. And we look at what is in that food. It's energy. It's also magnesium. It's a range of different things. So I often encourage people to explore what they're craving, to have a look at perhaps what from a nutritional point of view might be missing. But also, are you just looking for energy because you are missing something and looking for that kind of boost throughout the day? It is really interesting. Tell me a little bit more about the pros and cons. We're not comparing the two, the bariatric surgery and the GLP-1 analogs, but looking at what are the pros and cons.
Yeah, well, when it comes to surgery, it is something that a lot of people will plan for, and they will usually have a expected amount of weight loss. Whereas when it comes to weight loss medications, it may take time for the weight loss medications to take effect. And also sometimes the weight loss medications need to be titrated. Now, having said that, that's also a pro on the medication side of things because they can be titrated. Not all medications will suit all patients at all doses, whereas weight loss surgery, it's one and done. There isn't any test where you can do a mini weight loss surgery first and then you commit to the entire thing.
Yes.
With weight loss medication, you can titrate it, which is something that is really helpful for a lot of patients, particularly those who already have a baseline of, you know, someone who's very sensitive to nausea or someone who already has existing reflux. Those are the patients in particular where I would be going slow and working my way up and also setting that expectation that we are taking your medical situation into account. Let's not assume that you're going to have very fast weight loss. Let's aim for slow and steady and sustainable weight loss. So those are some of the pros.
Yeah, that's interesting that it is a marathon. It's not a race. I have heard conversation around muscle retention and the weight loss medications. We have that issue with bariatric surgery and we support that by making sure the diet is rich in protein and those sorts of things. Do you know what's behind that muscle loss?
I think it's got more to do with the rapid amount of weight loss. And I also see that in patients who lose weight very rapidly with weight loss medications as well. So you hear all of these stories about people doing body scan before they start the medication, doing a body scan afterwards and seeing a significant drop in the percentage of muscle mass, and it scares them. And it's often because, again, those medications are being used to really suppress the appetite significantly. The patient stops eating. They also get in a restrictive mindset. They lose their muscle mass, but there usually becomes this point where they say, now what? So now that I've lost this weight, how am I going to achieve weight maintenance? I still need to eat. I still need to be able to have the energy to get through my day. I still need to be able to move and maintain my muscle mass. Is this going to be a long-term solution? So having that distinct at the weight loss journey in that the medications are going to be used to help to kickstart your weight loss journey, but we also need to be fueling your body at the same time is such a strong message that I try to advocate for, in particular, protein.
Oh, absolutely. And this is another reason we talk about making sure that these medications are definitely used under supervision. And the additional support that your program offers is just, it's another level comparatively. It's nice that we can do the GLP-1 under medical supervision, but to have that nutritional input, help of it, you know, all that coaching and that sort of thing, it's really a more complete picture when we're looking at the drivers of overweight and those sorts of things as well. I think that's the key. I know that we discussed off air, we are seeing people accessing the medications without necessarily having that communication and the support and the ongoing commitment, I suppose. What are you seeing there? Are you finding people find their way to you after they've done that on their own a little?
I have people coming to look to me for help from a range of different situations. Sometimes they have already done a trial of weight loss medications with their GP and they've come to the realization, sometimes after watching my webinar, that we do need to identify and treat the root cause. Sometimes they come to me because they like the idea that my mindset is that of fueling the body and kickstarting the weight loss journey with weight loss medications, but I don't try to create medication dependency with patients. Even though a lot of the studies do show that obesity is a chronic disease, and for a lot of people, they may need to use, you know, a GLP-1 for a longer period of time. The mindset that I have is that if I can use it for a short period of time at a very small dose, while at the same time treating the underlying cause that is causing the weight gain, such as adjusting the medications or treating their other medical conditions, if I can help the patient to implement specific advice when it comes to their nutrition, get them into a regular exercise routine and not just tell them what to do, but to help them implement it on a weekly basis, then I feel confident that they're going to be successful in their weight maintenance, which is the much more important goal. Weight loss is just the beginning, but weight maintenance is what we're really aiming for.
It's that marathon again, isn't it? The end.
It is.
The long haul. And it's lovely that we are actually dealing with it as a disease. And I think we were saying earlier how we've been treating the end stages of this disease, cancer, heart disease, that sort of thing for so long now that it's like we're actually starting from the beginning and being that voice for helping when it what's needed. Having a look at the outcomes of both of these situations, bariatric surgery and the GLP-1 analogues, what are you seeing as far as outcomes and things that might need to be considered for the patient?
The first thing would be to make sure that you've had a good assessment beforehand, before you've even made that decision of which way that you're going for surgery or for medications. And the second most important thing is making sure that you're planning for maintenance in the long term. We've been together in your Facebook community, and we've had people asking questions and reaching out because some people are many years since they've had weight loss surgery and they have since experienced regain, but they're not really in contact with their surgeon anymore. The surgeon has done the job and the patient does not have any more complications. So the surgeon is not quite the right person to have that long-term relationship with in terms of weight maintenance. And finding a doctor who has that expertise when it comes to bariatric medicine or medically supervised weight loss, it's going to be really important, even if you do choose weight loss surgery, to have someone looking after you, monitoring your nutrition and making sure that you're well looked after in terms of your long-term weight journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the things to consider, is that long-term effect and that long-term care, which is great that you're able to offer that from a medical perspective. When a lot of people, when they do hit that regain stage, they do reach out to the surgeon. And there's often disappointment. There's often, oh, they don't care, they didn't want to hear about it. And it's like, it's just not their, it's not their realm. So it's not that they don't want to hear about it. I don't think I've ever met a surgeon who doesn't care about their patient like that. They're passionate in our community. I can see that they're very committed to making sure that the results are long-term. But when patients are reaching out because they're regaining, it's not a surgical issue. It's more of a mindset. It's what can we do next? What are the other tools we have in the kit? And it's really great that there's more awareness around this now, I think. And the expectation that for some patients who have had weight loss surgery, it's not the end of the road. It's not the last thing that you will do. It is a chronic disease, and it will, you know, some things are in remission and some things will come back and rear their little heads again. But it's also, yeah, to know that and to not feel so defeated and have something else you can do, I think is a fantastic development.
Yeah. The medication or the surgery is just the first intervention, but staying healthy and being able to maintain your healthy weight in the long term, that is actually the big challenge that we have to prepare everybody for.
And I think no one's exempt from that. It's an interesting one. I hear patients are saying now, well, now I have to be so vigilant and I have to watch what I eat and I have to look at my protein intake and that sort of thing. And I like to remind that it's not necessarily exclusive to those who've had weight loss surgery or are looking at weight loss. It's also what people do who have maintained their weight, is they do take stock of what they eat. They take stock of how they exercise. So it could be that it's just more of a new way rather than a very difficult and, you know, exclusive set of circumstances for that situation. And I think that helps to let them feel not so alone, is that, you know, the average person who is maintaining weight and staying healthy or living that healthy lifestyle, that's how they do it, is they take stock of what they're doing and they, you know, they're not counting and adding up all the time, but it's just a lifestyle, I guess, overall. And it does become automated in the end. It's like, I know that if I get up in the morning, I know there's exercise somewhere that day, and that's just how it works. And it works for some people, but it's habit building and it does take some coaching and support. I think if it's not something that's been instilled from an early age as well, it's lots of learning.
When I get patients coming into my program, at first they say, now, do I have to track every calorie and do I have to count my carbohydrates? And when I teach them, you know, just aim for a palm-sized serving of protein at each meal. Let's aim for a fist-sized serving of carbohydrates. Make sure that you've got plenty of vegetables. They say, really? Is it really that simple? But to be honest, it has to be simple and it has to be sustainable if you're going to do it in the long term. We can't be keeping an app and tracking all of our calories and every last carbohydrate for the rest of our lives. We have to just live by simple things that we're able to do on a regular basis to be able to control and maintain our weight.
It's a great point. I think we try and make things difficult for ourselves sometimes when we look at that. And it's ingrained from, I always say, the 80s. I might be exaggerating, but it's that whole mindset that we've all grown up with. And I think it is that age group we're dealing with who we do see looking at weight interventions is we grew up on low-fat diet and counting calories and, you know, walking on the treadmill for 15 minutes because we've burnt 150 calories and that's two biscuits. And it doesn't work out that way. And we don't necessarily, we're definitely not including the metabolic and the hormonal and the endocrine factors that contribute to weight management and weight loss. And this is what we're dealing with in obesity, is that storm that's going on the inside, the insulin resistance and the other factors that are driving that disease as well. So certainly it's a great way to get in. So once the decision is made as to which route to take, whether you're going to do some GLP-1, maybe some medications first, and then maybe look at bariatric surgery, what are some of the things that can help to make either of these scenarios work?
So one of the first things to do is to make a commitment to not just doing the intervention, but also to committing to doing all of the lifestyle change as well. Because if you're just going to take weight loss medication, you're just going to achieve the percentage of weight loss that that medication is designed to achieve. If you're just going to have surgery, you're just going to achieve that percentage of weight loss as well. But if you truly do want to commit to it fully and you want to be able to maintain your weight and exercise for good health and fuel your body, it is about combining techniques as much as you possibly can. So making sure that maybe it's going to be getting an accountability partner. Maybe it is stocking up the fridge before you have your surgery so that once you come out, you've got all of your good protein sources ready to go. And when it comes to medical weight loss, again, making sure that you've got a plan and you've scheduled out everything so that you can include nutrition and exercise. I think it's so important to marry the two together, that it's lifestyle and it's the intervention together.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I think we kind of thought this might be the magic bullet, but it's also got, you know, considerations and things that we need to do. So that's interesting, because I think that when we first heard about these new interventions coming onto the market, we were like, here it is. And yeah, there is always that little bit of commitment and I guess change that we need to investigate for ourselves as well. I think you've done some really fantastic work with building this in, like marrying the coaching and the different modalities together and having them all in the one place. We were talking earlier about this holistic approach to making sure that we've got coachings or psychological intervention, we've got your dietitian, and that all under one umbrella. And we know that when we go and see one practitioner and then we have to leave that session and then book with another practitioner who might be in another location and their availability is limited. Are you finding that bringing that all together sort of in the one package is kind of a key factor to success?
I think so. And also what I find is that it's easier for the patients and I'm able to achieve greater percentages of weight loss for my patients that are in the program being supported by my entire team than for the patients that I would normally see just in a general practice setting, providing that medical support on its own. And that's the reason why I designed the program in the very beginning, because I felt that our community approach, which was very much fragmented, could definitely be improved on. So why go to the GP for the medical consultation and then they refer you to a dietitian who they might only get a letter back from once every 3 months, or they might send you to a physiotherapist or an exercise physiologist. And even if you were co-located under the one roof, it's not about one shop where you go and you go from one office to another. It's actually about those practitioners working behind the scenes, discussing your case and thinking about how certain things affect each other. So if you're a patient who does have a shoulder injury and we're also treating pre-diabetes, this has relevance when we're creating your exercise plan. You shouldn't be given the same exercise plan as every other person. We need to make modifications when it comes to your shoulder. Or in the case of if you've got, for example, when I presented at Wonka, then I had a patient who had pre-diabetes, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and she was also a vegetarian as well. So making sure that you can get enough vegetarian sources of protein in her diet is going to be so important. And if it was just me working in the community setting and again, sending them off for a referral to a dietitian, I don't think that I could achieve that same result as what I get in the program, which is behind the scenes, having those multidisciplinary case conferences, planning the patient's care, and then literally seeing them every week. So I usually see them every 2 to 3 weeks for their medical consultations. but I see them together with the nutritionist every week. I exercise together with them, with the exercise physiologist every week. And having that regular coaching, that regular intervention and that support and accountability is a really great non-pharmacological way to help someone and to assist them with implementing changes for their weight loss journey.
Yeah, it's a really nice cohesive connection, and you're a part of each step of the way as well, which I think is key. So when they do come back to you for the medical consult, it's all there. It's a full picture rather than trying to piece it together from those, you know, short snippets of information we tend to send each other when we're busy. So I think it's a fantastic approach. And we're going to talk about Lift Med is the name of your program. And how would we find access to that, Angela?
Yes, you can head straight to my website, which is enlightenme.upliftmed.au. Enlighten Me is the medically supervised weight loss program that I created. And I would be more than happy for you to go on the website, have a look, see if it's for you. And if you feel like you're ready to take that next step, you can book a complimentary call with my clinical team. They can do an assessment. There is no obligation, and they would let you know if you're a good fit for the program.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, Angela. And I'm sure we'll meet again because there's always updates coming from your end. And it's great to get your input. You know, you're seeing it from a different perspective than we do. So it's really nice to kind of bring that all together and help people to make informed choices that are based on good evidence and experience. So thanks once again for your time.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And just before you go, we would love to hear your feedback. So please give us a rating and review. For other interesting topics of conversation and inspiration, come and drop into our Facebook community at BN Bariatric. If you've enjoyed our podcast, we hope you will share on your Facebook or Instagram and hit subscribe so you'll never miss an episode.